Hello, everybody. AGP, are we ready to go? We're ready to go. We're rolling. We're live. And I'll get started on this meeting. To get it open, today is Thursday, November 6, 2014. This is a special City Council meeting. We're at the Veterans Hall starting at 5 p.m., located at 209 Surf Street here in Moore Bay. For the record, we have one council member, Nancy Johnson, who is not present and will not be phoning in with us, so it'll just be the four of us as a quorum, and we'll call the meeting to order. Since this is a special meeting, we're not getting into announcements or anything like that, but tonight on the agenda, we have three items on the agenda. We're going to discuss the review of a possible amendment for the Moore Bay Municipal Code relating to business licenses. We're going to introduce the first reading of an ordinance, and we're going to number 589, on and on and on. I'll kind of go through this quickly. And then our third item is also introduce a first reading of an ordinance, which will get a staff report and presentation on all three of these items. We will take public comment on all three items. Item number two, I will be recusing myself. Mayor Pro Tem Christine Johnson will be running the meeting at that point, and then I'll come back for item number three. And as discussed in the last City Council meeting, part of my recusal is item number two has to do with penalties and refunds in regard to the business license audit that has been taking place. And I have an open case with Municipal Auditing Services, and I think, Noah, you've been contacted but don't have an open file or any penalties or anything like that, and George was also acknowledging some contact or anything like that. Are we clear there?
No, I announced that my staff at my office is in disarray because of letting some people go, and I have not seen anything, and I don't believe we have had anything at
okay.
all.
Okay. And then okay, so prior to getting going on the first item, I thought I'd just look to our city attorney, and I think there's been some discussion, I think primarily social media, Facebook, some posting on our music industry and how that would take place, and so I thought I'd offer him the opportunity to speak to that. Joe?
Thank you, Mayor. We heard today that there was an issue that musicians were raising, indicating that the city, no city, has authority to tax a defined group, cafe musicians. That definition is in the Business and Professions Code, section 16,000.5. And that section defines cafe musicians as basically anyone who provides musical entertainment somewhere where food is served, either served for free or served for pay. So if someone has a restaurant and they have a musician there, or someone who has a birthday party and has a musician there and is offering food at the birthday party, that's a cafe musician. The issue becomes in the language of that section. What that language prohibits is any city from having a regulatory business license or charging a regulatory business fee, and fee is defined to include taxes. So we'll just use fee as a general term. A city can't regulate musicians. The reason that legislation was adopted, as we understand, is because there were some cities that were preventing cafe musicians and restaurants from hiring cafe musicians. So it wasn't the revenue side, it was that they didn't want them working there. And so that's why that legislation was passed, was to stop cities from being able to prohibit the cafe musicians from working. It wasn't to prohibit the city from taxing that business.
Go ahead, Dave.
So to put that together, the legal piece with the practical piece, and legal things are very practical, the city of Morro Bay and all the city of Morro Bay and other cities, any city in California, may not regulate a cafe musician, may not say use a business license in order to do that, may not say you can't do it. However, Morro Bay and every city in California has the authority to tax such businesses in order to generate revenue for the purpose of revenue generation. That said, the city of Morro Bay and our contract auditing service has no intent to tax cafe musicians. Municipal auditing services has no list of cafe musicians that we are going to go down. If there was a parade of cafe musicians going through the streets that wanted to advertise themselves very clearly and sort of raise their hands and say, "Hey, we're here," then somebody might get more interested. But frankly, we have no intent to use the business license to tax cafe musicians as separate businesses. We see those as part of that cafe or bar or whatever it is.
Okay. Thanks very much for that clarification. It was nice to be able to address that up front. So with that, we'll get on to item number one. Item one, number one is discussion and the direction for a review and possible amendments of the Morro Bay Municipal Code relating to business licenses. Mr. Buckingham.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the first part of this is, as you just said, to answer the question about a review and possible amendments to our code. So last week, the council passed three motions. One motion directed us to bring an ordinance change for amnesty from penalties. The second motion directed us to bring an ordinance change for a low gross threshold business exemption. And those two were very near-term issues. And then the third motion directed the staff to come back to you either this week or next week to describe the process and timeline we intend to use to more holistically review our business license code. So this first item addresses the third motion from last week. So what I'd like to do first is describe what we're going to do starting next Thursday after these ordinances presumably go into effect through the end of June in order to review our code. Then the next two items on the agenda will address those two near-term things, the amnesty and the low threshold exemption. So if you think about this in two phases, phase one is make these two ordinance changes now to relieve some pressure on a couple of significant groups. And then the phase two is do a longer-term review. This item that I'm going to speak about right now addresses the second part of that longer-term review. So a quick bit of scene setting. Why do cities require and why do they charge for a business license tax? First, why require a license? The city has an interest and a responsibility to know of all businesses that are operating in the city. That is a public safety responsibility, so our firemen, our police know what businesses are where, know what kind they are, if they have hazardous materials or something like that. And then the second is a mechanism to help regulate certain businesses. And we just had an example of that with taxi drivers. So that's why businesses or cities have business licenses. Now, why do they charge for business licenses? Two parts, really. We charge a fee and a tax, and they're sort of written interchangeably in our code, but you can tell the difference when you read it. The fee recoups some of the resources that the city spends to issue those business licenses. It takes a person, it takes paper, it takes time. It might take the fire department or the police department to identify where things are. So the fee portion of it recoups the city's expenditure to provide that business license. The tax part ensures that businesses are paying their fair share for the additional demand that the existence of what his or her proceeds are. So two businesses, both have one employee, a sole proprietor. They both pay the same rate regardless of what their proceeds are. And that system most closely ties the tax to that demand that the business places on the city. If you have two businesses and both of them only have one employee, they're essentially placing the same demand on fire, on police, on infrastructure, regardless of if one is grossing $100,000 a year and the other is grossing $150,000 a year. Some cities use a gross proceeds approach. The business pays a different rate based on their proceeds. And that's regardless of how significant that business's demand is on city services. So those are the two approaches that are generally there. Again, we're going to wrestle with that for 6-7 months into the future now, but I wanted to, it's sort of important as we go through this. So at the council's direction, the staff will conduct a 6-7 month review of Morro Bay business licensing requirements. We're going to complete the review so that any policy changes or procedure changes are adopted by the end of this fiscal year. So by the end of June, so that when we start the new fiscal year in July, the new system or any amendments or changes to the system are in place. We'll consider whatever changes are appropriate to our code, to our tax and fee schedule, to our policy, other policies that aren't in code, to the procedures that we use, from application procedures to audit procedures, to customer service approaches, and to our public communication. So we're going to look holistically at the whole system and consider appropriate changes and bring those changes to you for consideration and approval. So a few guiding principles that that I recommend and we intend to follow based on your direction. First is, unless otherwise directed, the staff will maintain revenue neutrality as a fundamental requirement in the process. The staff believes there is good reason at times to lower a tax, to lower a fee or something in order to generate business, but we think that that discussion is better had in the discussion with our LEAP and with the Local Economic Action Plan in another way. So just for the purposes, we currently intend to say, hey, whatever we do, we need to about maintain revenue neutrality based on where our budget is now as well. The staff will lean toward whatever system is easiest to manage, both easy for the businesses to manage and easy for the staff to manage. Whatever is the simplest system, we think, is probably the best one for us. Reference our municipal code. All options are on the table. We can modify the existing code. We can use a better code that we find from another city or a similar city, or we can wholesale write a new code that's just specific for Morro Bay. So we're going to look at all of the options and not hold ourselves to one. The staff will look for appropriate technology-based solutions wherever appropriate. I would love to end this process with a website where you go on and this is all electronic. And it gets logged electronically, it gets paid electronically, it gets distributed to police and fire and all the different city services electronically. So I'm not sure we can do all of that electronically, and we would certainly want a more traditional option for our businesses that may want to do a more traditional option. But we will look. This is a great opportunity for us to inject some 21st century into our processes. And the process will include stakeholders from various parts of the community, from the chamber, from the Merchants Association, resident taxpayers, professional advisors. We will make sure that we're going broad and wide. So there's a lot of folks out there, a lot of different elements out there that are concerned. So I want to list a few, but this review that we conduct will address. In particular, low revenue businesses, independent contractors who are working at the same address as another business license holder, for example, a hairstylist who rents a chair in a salon where that salon has a business license, businesses that sell on consignment from thrift and antique stores, businesses that rent sales space in another licensed business, artists, both hobbyist artists and vocational artists, full-time artists, itinerant, one-time sales, street fairs, cafe musicians, home-based vocational businesses, that's somebody who works full-time from home, home-based hobby businesses, that's somebody who has a full I frankly don't know right now if I think that's required. What I do know is if it's a significant effort, then we may need some help just based on the staff time that would be required to do a real wholesale significant review. So the recommendation is printed on the screen. That recommendation is that you, the City Council, direct staff to conduct a review of existing Morro Bay business licensing requirements consistent with the approach laid out in this presentation, using consultant support if required, and propose appropriate amendments or revisions to the municipal code, the tax rate schedule, and other city policies and procedures by the end of June 2015. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Buckingham. Excellent report. And with that, I'll open it up for questions. And then following questions, we'll go into public comment. George, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. All right, this time.
Christine?
Just a very quick question. Thanks for the great report. Seems to be right on target with what we had asked for at the last meeting. I appreciate staff's quick response. One question, just for folks who don't deal with finances as often as others, could you just define very simply for us again, when you say the staff will maintain revenue neutrality, could you just kind of define that simply?
Yes, that means the revenue that the city is currently generating, getting from the business license tax, when we adopt whatever we recommend, we want the result of that to be about the same, so that we are neither lowering our revenue nor using this as an opportunity to increase our revenue, but at the end, so that when we all go through the budget cycle in April, May, and June, as this is going on, we can assume that the revenue line for business license tax that we had last year we can count on that for this year. We're not going to do something to significantly lower that.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's my only question.
No, none. One follow-up question to that, Mr. Buckingham, and that in regard to the neutrality part. I think part of the auditing is, you know, we'll maintain some neutrality on this, but I think one of the other things, experiences from this, is we're identifying businesses that perhaps should have had business licenses. So perhaps that line will increase if we're identifying businesses that should have had business licenses all along. And I think that maybe even speak to it on long-term rentals. There's some things like that that may be a factor in that.
Yeah, thank you. And to be clear, one of the reasons we're doing the audit is to ensure that everybody's paying their fair share. That's not really the primary reason. Good organizations audit themselves. What I would say is that the structure that we have in place, we want to generate about the same revenue as the structure that we propose, based on the same number and type of businesses. But if, Lord willing, our businesses double in the next 2 years, then we want our business license tax to double revenue, to double as well, so that we can provide more fire service, more police service, better infrastructure, or maintain the infrastructure based on that doubling of businesses.
Great, thank you. With that, I'll open it up for...
Just a minute.
You do have a question, okay.
I want him to clear something that we talked about. I think since there's a few people in the audience I noticed that will be interested in this, we talked before the meeting about the fisherman deal. Could you clear that right now? And I think you will clear a lot of problem right here.
Great, thank you. I did not include fishermen on the list of folks that we're going to particularly look at because we already, in fact, California Code, I believe it is, exempts direct agricultural sales and fishing sales. So a licensed fisherman who sells fish from his boat in our harbor does not require a business license, in fact, already. And I believe that's California code, and we could not add that in. And if it were only in our code, I would not propose adding it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. With, was there one more question? No? Okay, good. Then we'll turn it over to public comment. So everybody that would like to speak to this item may do so now, public comment. Please come forward, state your name. You have 3 minutes, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
I'll just be brief. I noticed that you didn't mention...
Can you state your name, please?
Billy Fapiano. I'm a musician here. But I noticed you didn't make any mention about cabaret mimes, and I'm concerned that that they're going to be left out of the equation. So if you would make a note. And mimes don't continue. They're asking for their payroll information for the past 4 years so they can come back and hit us for $135 plus back fees too. And a lot of us don't make a lot of money, you know. And I think you should be concerned with the money that we make in Morro Bay. The chatter has been that you guys are going to look at our total income, which I assure you is not a lot. But what we make in other cities should have no consequence. For instance, like somebody, I think somebody was saying that, I think Noah had put a link out that said if people make under $7,800, there'll be like a $32 fee. That seems reasonable. But is $7,800, is that money made in Morro Bay, or is that your overall money that you make of your total, you know, the total money that you make? So these are the questions that we have, and we're hoping that the attorney could answer those for us. And there's not a lot of people here tonight, but believe me, there's chatter out there. And everybody's very concerned, and I think they're more concerned about the retroactive fees that will come. If there's money that we have to pay, we're happy to pay it if it's reasonable, you know, but it's the retroactive fees. And ignorance of the law, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I was talking to somebody else, and I said, I had no idea. I had no idea that we had to do this. But apparently three people on the council weren't in compliance with the law. So that's what I have to say. And thank you so much for letting me speak. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Public comments open for those who'd like to speak at this time.
Hi. My name's Colette Kame. I have an alarm company based out of Morro Bay, so I'm a contractor. I was a little more fired up earlier today until I cleared my case with Municipal Tracking, that's an interesting experience with them, but I won't go into that. I have to carry licenses in every city I work in, and this happens with contractors, so I'd like to think the city's looking at this. Most of my licenses, and I carry 10, city licenses, are just a base fee. Morro Bay, I had one of my staff make a list of city permit amounts and how they were structured. Only two cities are gross receipt based, and it is only on the gross receipts in that city. So I'm only charged on that. The bulk of all of my permits are in the $30 to $60 range per year. Morro Bay, $244. I was shocked. So I pay $81 to Santa Barbara City, and it's a base flat fee. So my question is, why is Morro Bay so high? Contractors have to carry contractor's license. I have to carry other state licenses. I think it's a little punitive. And I understand you have a challenge fiscally. I want to support Morro Bay City. I've had a business here for 25, 30 years. I plan to be here. I own a commercial property here, so I'm also paying property tax. I would just like you to think it's probably more prohibitive for other contractors besides me. So I think the contractors who work all over and carry licenses in all cities, and now that I see that you have a completely different structure, I'm a bit surprised. So I think you should discuss that. From 244 to 80 in Santa Barbara, and San Luis City is even 79, and I do a lot of business in all of those areas. So I would just encourage you to look at that. Municipal Tracking, I wasn't real impressed with how they came about this. I think they were a bit not real friendly, and a little bit punitive it felt when they discussed my case. They finally resolved it because it was wrong. All of the records they had were wrong. And we've been an honest business. We've given you our information for the last, however we've been here. So, and again, I support Morro Bay. I would just like you to look at something that's more comparable to the other cities that we have to function in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I grab your name again? Just, I'd love to sit down with you.
Colette Kame.
Colette Kame?
Kame, C-A-M-E.
Thank you.
Anybody else for public comment? Please come forward. State your name. You have 3 minutes, please.
My name is Debbie McNair. Mr. Mayor, Council, Mr. Manager, Councilor, it's been my pleasure to observe Morro Bay transform from a sleepy little fishing community I knew as a child to a thriving city. And Morro Bay's greatest treasure is the people who live and work to put Morro Bay on the map. Economic development has escalated and continues to be what makes Morro Bay thrive. Part of those contributing to Morro Bay's success are those artisans, craftspersons, musicians, and others who help bring people from all over the world to enjoy the various events Morro Bay sponsors. The Council seeks to adopt an addendum to Title V of the Municipal Code that will directly affect many of the self-employed musicians, artisans, and vendors that bring revenue to Morro Bay. The majority of those artisans and musicians live hand-to-mouth, and they are the epitome of poor, starving artists. I realize that was information I gleaned from NOAA's social networking. Thank you. And that amount be offered to those who are income eligible. I do believe that that would be an appropriate situation and solution for those who love to craft and play music and those who don't make much money. If the City Council firmly believes that Ordinance 590 should be enacted, I think it would be entirely appropriate to implement that $32 license fees for the economically suppressed. And I'd like you to additionally consider exemption status for persons over 60 years of age, as well as exemption for those who can provide documentation of their permanent disability. The city already offers exemption status for veterans, and rightly so. But many of those individuals are young and able-bodied. It is no secret a high percentage of individuals residing in Morro Bay are over 60 years of age and or disabled. Let them earn the little that they do by selling their crafts or bringing joy to others throughout music. Please give Ordinance 590 much more thought before putting this into law. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Please no, just wave if you want to support it, please. It's better. Anybody else for public comment?
I'll say
cool. Come on up and state your name.
Eddie Costco. I live in Morro Bay. I'm a new resident, moved from far away, Cayucas. And I'm also a hobby artist. I've done all my life, and I have a little bit in a store here in Morro Bay. And I just want to thank all of you for revisiting this ordinance that you're we're almost about to enact, I hear, and saw that it was a bit problematic, and I appreciate that. I urge you to think about exemptions for people who don't make any money off of what they have. You know, they just support some of the businesses here in the city by giving them an opportunity to retail some of their work. A lot of us don't really have any income from that other than, oh, look, you know, here's a $100 check for like last 5 months. That's pretty big deal. We can go out to dinner tonight. So I just want to say thank you very much for revisiting this and listening to what we all have to say, and that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. And I've got one other before anybody. There's a lot of good comments out there, and so I was thinking we could put a sheet of paper out there, and as this progresses and we want more information, if there's workshops that if you were to place your contact information, then we'd be able to reach out to you and make sure that those comments are received once again during a phase where we're working through this ordinance. And I was just, you know, can we do that, or if you have a piece of paper down here? And we had some great comments out there, and so if we were able to get you to participate further, in the back would be great, you know, anywhere. Thanks for doing that, Joe. You got a pen and everything back there, I suppose. Thanks. With that, I'll turn it back to, thank you, Joe, Council for comments. Joe or George, do you want to start off?
No, I don't have any comments at this time.
Christine?
Yeah, just to wrap up, we had a lot of different discussion items from public comment, but just I want to be sure I know what we're up to next. So we are right now looking at the recommendation from staff just based on the general review, correct? We're not talking specifics at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, no, I have nothing else to add, and I would move approval of the staff recommendation.
Can we finish the regular discussion?
Yes,
before we
take may.
That? Thank you. Noah, do you have any more discussion?
Yeah, I do just have a couple of follow-ups that were brought up by the public comment. And one that I found was pretty interesting because I was looking around at how other communities have approached this. And yes, most of them do have different tiers. And I would agree that we do trend high here in Morro Bay when you look within the county and outside. But I was specifically looking for exemption options. And I actually had a pretty hard time finding exemptions that cities were building into their tier structure outside of things like fishermen and ag and so forth that's regulated more by the state. But I did find one that seemed interesting and something I'd like staff to continue forward just as something to keep in mind that was utilized by San Jose. And they basically look at the poverty level based on what the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services establishes on an annual basis. And I think that could be a way to help look at different issues that people may be facing and utilize that as a very tried and true number that isn't biased and is established by a larger agency that's looking at things. So thought that might help with the debate about elders versus people with disabilities and so forth. I guess we can ask about
contacting folks, but I'd done some research on some of this as well, and this really was generated by an audit. So, we have a lot of input from folks being concerned over whether or not how we should have our rate structure. Well, to begin with, the rate structure and everything was already there and in place. This audit was just a matter of, hey, we've got this, now let's audit ourselves and apply some enforcement to that. And as a result, we're able to take an inward look at ourselves and say, with much of the input that we have is, maybe this isn't what we need to be doing. And so as a result, we're going to be revisiting that, and we're doing just what we should be doing, is making sure that the ordinance that we do have in place is equitable and it works for our community. So I know it seemed to send some mixed messages on what the city wants to do here, but it was an ordinance that was already in place, and I think now we're addressing that. So I think that's important to point out. And one other thing is as well is, while we may be doing a business license audit, we're also going to be doing a city assessment that we did back in 2008 with Management Partners. And it's basically taking a look at our city again, once again, doing an assessment and seeing how is our city organization doing. Another one that will be coming up is a water rate study. All these things are just taking a look at ourselves and how we're doing business, rightfully so, because we want to be providing those quality services and everything that was spoken about tonight as far as providing quality of life, enhancing and making a vitalic community. So I just wanted to speak to that because things are coming down from different studies and things that will be perhaps difficult decisions, but they will be coming forward this coming year, and it's important that we proceed with them. So with that, there's only one other comment that I just wanted to ensure that item three is basically has to do agenda item number three basically has to do with the gross annual receipts and that number and that particular ordinance 5.08.220. I just wanted to make sure that this item that it seems like we want to approve tonight, basically we bring back, if we so approve, item number three, as part of this review, we bring that back. Because personally, I see this assessment, we're kind of making this decision here tonight, and I think during the review process till June, that assessment, the recommendation says $7,500, that may be different through this next 6 months and this review. So I would ask that we bring that back as a result of this review. And so tonight, if it's approved, it will be somewhat temporary, or at least we'll revisit that. And I wanted to make sure that's captured either in the motion or if that's clear enough direction to make sure that we'll do that. Is that what is the preference there?
It's first you'll notice in the ordinance it says suspends for precisely that reason, so that it can be unsuspended if need be. Number one on the list of things on the current motion to consider are low revenue businesses, so we will absolutely reconsider them then. And then in the presentation that we'll give for item number three in a few moments, you'll note that two or three times we say temporary to make it clear that this is a temporary measure, so that we buy ourselves some time to do a more holistic review.
Okay. And one other question for council and input on this, and that has to do with reporting back the findings and recommendations when this comes back, and perhaps looking at a way to bring it back in stages, in phases, so it, you know, we can introduce something and then everybody can have a bite at the apple and look at it, and then we'd have a chance to come back and say, okay, we're good. So just want to throw that out there as well. So with that, I think we have a motion. You want to state your motion, Christine? We didn't get a quote.
No, that's good. It's additional information that I think is necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's great. Yeah, but to be clear, what we're deciding on tonight for folks in the audience is to go forward in the general structure that the staff have laid out. And then the next two items, we're going to get to some of the details that I hope they'll stick around for, because that's where some of the specifics may come out.
Right.
Okay. So I will move staff approval for staff the recommended approval.
As
I will move staff recommendation as presented.
Sounds good. Is that I'll second that. Any other discussion? Are we clear with the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. With that, I'll go ahead and recuse myself on item number two and turn it over to Mayor Pro Tem Christine Johnson.
Thank you.
Does waive all of the penalties. It establishes a 90-day amnesty period for the forgiveness of those penalties, and it ties that amnesty period to the ties that amnesty to the period associated with the current business license audit. So a quick background, the parameters of this ongoing business license audit created a situation in which many businesses were required to pay 4 years of 100% penalties in addition to 4 years of back taxes. While the audit is compliance, or I should say this audit is compliance focused, it's not primarily designed for revenue, as Mayor Irons just pointed out. It's taking an inward look at ourselves to get a good feel for what our code says and how it's being implemented. The City Council, the staff, and our business community believe that all businesses should be registered with the city and pay their fair share of the increased demand on fire services, police services, city infrastructure that every business creates. There's no real complaint about that. But everyone is also in agreement that all entities and individuals should be fairly and consistently treated and pay their taxes that are due. The problem, though, is that the 100% penalty provision in the municipal code has created this problem, because many taxpayers have, in fact, been out of compliance for one reason or another, and without pointing any fingers, there's a significant number of folks who have been out of compliance. So, for example, a business that forgot to pay its license fee for 4 years would be presented with a bill for 4 years of tax plus 4 years of the penalty amount. If that tax was $136 a year, that would equate to $544 for the four tax years delinquent and another $544 in penalties. We believe that 4 years of penalties places a significant burden on many businesses. So here's an explanation of what this ordinance will do. The ordinance change that's associated with this item forgives all penalties for any business that quote-unquote gets healthy during the amnesty period. For those that forgot for some reason that were not in compliance, assuming that you come in and get healthy, then it forgives those penalties. It does require businesses to pay the back taxes that are owed, and, as appropriate, get a current business license. One of the points of this whole thing is to make sure we know what businesses are out there and that everybody has a current license. It begins the grace period, 4 months ago, on July the 8th, 2014, which is the day that the council approved the business license audit contract. If approved, the grace period will become effective 12 December and ends on March the 13th. But effectively, anybody that gets paid penalties from the 8th of July through the 12th of March will have those penalties forgiven, and if they've paid them, refunded. It requires that any penalties paid after, as I just said, the 8th of July be refunded. It requires that penalties as outlined in the Morro Bay Municipal Code come back into force on March the 14th, 2015, at the end of the amnesty period. And for information, the tax collector will retain the authority to forgive penalties on a case-by-case basis. We've had that authority already. We were prepared to use it, but what we're doing here is doing something we didn't have the authority to do, and that was a carte blanche or a blanket forgiveness of penalties. So our recommendation is that we recommend the City Council accept public comment and then move for the introduction of and first reading of this ordinance, as is on the screen and was in your staff report.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions from Council? Start with Noah.
Yes, yeah, so just one. Dave, you described it last meeting, but if you could just talk briefly about how we're going to try to get the word out there to the community.
Yes, yeah, so we intend as staff to make an aggressive effort, aggressive in the positive sense, aggressive effort to make sure everybody gets the word. What we're after is for everybody to come in from the cold and have their penalties forgiven. And what we don't want is for there to be a group out there that doesn't get the word July of next year, we figure out that there's somebody who didn't get the word, wasn't paying their taxes for whatever reason, and then they're faced with those penalties. So we will use the Chamber, the Merchants Association, mailings. We will mail to all of our business license holders. Our current business license holders will do flyers in, for example, thrift stores and antique stores that might have other business in them. We intend to make a full court press to make sure that the word is out there and to get everybody's penalties forgiven before the end of the amnesty.
Okay, anything else? George, questions? I just have one follow-up question to that then, and just so we're very clear, possible. Okay, thanks. So I don't have any other questions. So at this point, we'll open it to public comment. If people would like to speak specifically to this item on the agenda, please come forward now, state your name, and you have 3 minutes. Okay, looks like there's none. Oh, one. Thank you.
Hi, City Council. I was just came into this meeting. I'm waiting for a harbor meeting, and I have heard about this tax amnesty and the tax code here. Specifically, I feel, like you just said, sir, that if a business is established, has a residence or a permanent place, and they either forgot to pay their taxes for whatever, they should pay the taxes. But what happens if you weren't aware that you did need to have a tax license? Good example, I have 8 rentals. I didn't realize I needed a tax, business tax, to operate my rental business out of my house, that I pay property taxes, in all my other rentals. So I will go down and get a business license, but I don't think that I'm going to pay for the other 3 years. I mean, I'm going to really argue that point, only in the sense that I had no knowledge. No one told me that I needed to do that. I know that ignorance is not an excuse. And I've been told that, too, by the State Board of Equalization. But in this case, I think the city, now that is coming down here and is trying to collect these taxes from these people, there should be some cases that if they really weren't aware of it and they don't have a business per se, there should be some leeway in some appeal process. That's all I have to say.
Could you repeat your name? I'm sorry, I have to ask you to state your name for the record.
I apologize. My name is Bill LaFay, a resident of Morro Bay.
Thank you. Okay, another public comment. Thank you very much.
Billy Fapiano back again. And I'm just confused because for those of us who, I'm not sure what conducting business means, because those of us who don't have an address in Morro Bay, but, you know, I'm thinking of the itinerant folks who go out, mimes particularly, not musicians, who go out and play all over the county or work in the county, yoga teachers, instructors. I mean, there's a whole bunch of us, but we don't have an address in Morro Bay, a brick and mortar place. I'm not asking for special consideration, but it seems to me that that's a special case. So we might have to think about working with you guys, and I'll be happy to do brainstorming with y'all and talk within the community of us. And like I said, we want you guys to thrive. You guys thrive, we thrive. But it doesn't seem fair because we're not that much of a tax on the infrastructure of Morro Bay. We use it, the roads and all that stuff, but again, we don't have an address here. We have an address elsewhere, and we have to pay taxes elsewhere. So ideas, I'm happy to help out.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else for public comment? Seeing none, we'll come back to council, and we'll see if there are responses to public comment from anyone on the council or staff. Response to issues. I think that each individual issue can certainly be addressed with our staff here at the end of any kind. If you're in the middle of an audit right now with Municipal Audit Services, everything comes back at the end of the day to our city, and issues can be discussed one-on-one through the appeal process, through information, setting up a meeting. So any questions that you may have now, perhaps you want to get started on that conversation and reach out to Susan Slayton, who's the Administrative Services Director, is the city's tax collector, and start that process, start that conversation. Does that seem to be accurate?
Yeah, I'd just say that if this ordinance and the next one that we discuss don't sort of solve the problem and there's still a critical problem, then there is an appeal process in place that's still in place that goes through. So these are designed to catch the 95%. The 5%, there's still an appeal process in place that comes through City Hall, and a taxpayer also has the opportunity, if they don't agree with the decision of the tax collector, to appeal to the council to have a hearing here.
Okay, great. Thank you for clearing that up. So we're back to discussion on this item for council. Noah?
I just want to follow up on that because I still am have some concerns. I'm hearing from people that are in the process of working with Moss, and there seems to be a lack of communication from Moss regarding that appeal process. And I want to ensure that we're communicating that there is an appeal process and how people can actually access that. Right now, I don't think that's clear across the board.
Yeah, we agree that there is a period right now from the council meeting last week until the second reading next week, and we know that this is going to be an ordinance. we are talking to Moss. We've talked to them today, but I think it's next Thursday morning. We've blocked off the whole.
Okay, we'll vote. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. So motion passes 3-0, and now we can have Mayor Irons return to the dais. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Now, moving on to item number 3. Item number 3 is introduction of the first reading of Ordinance Number 590 of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay, California, adding Section 5.08.220 to the Morro Bay Municipal Code relating to requirements for the low-revenue businesses to obtain business licenses. Mr. Buckingham.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Welcome back to the dais. What you just passed was the first reading of the amnesty, which relieved, we hope, the amnesty from penalties, which relieved a lot of the pressure on many of our businesses. This is the ordinance for the second motion you approved last week, which we hope will relieve a lot of the pressure on our lower income, lower gross revenue businesses. Quick review. So last week, the council passed a motion proposing an ordinance change that would establish a recommended threshold such that businesses that fall below that threshold would not be required to pay the Morro Bay business license except for an annual processing fee as set by the master fee schedule. That motion did not specify if the threshold should be based on gross or net receipts. We actually recommended gross last week, it was changed to a recommended threshold, so that was one of the things we had to consider and bring back to you. During the staff presentation last week, we recommended a gross receipts threshold of around $2,500 a year and a tax of around $10 a year. So the background, the ongoing business license compliance audit has identified a number of very small businesses who believed, for various reasons, that they were not required to have a business license. And there are maybe some not so very small businesses out there that also believed the same thing. But these low threshold businesses or low gross businesses included some hobbyists, some artists, independent contractors, and other very small businesses who rent space in thrift stores and galleries. A common theme is the small amount of money these businesses make from their activities, whether it's jewelry making or painting or crafts, and the potential financial hardship that those residents often might have from levying 4 years of back taxes at the full $136 a year level. Staff recommended that, this is a good time to say, so our ordinance, our code, did not have any low threshold provision in it at all. Any business, except for one special exception that was a home business, a certain type of home business, any business, regardless of gross receipts, was required to have a full $136 rate. So the staff recommended last week bringing a temporary ordinance change to the council, creating a low revenue threshold for businesses to receive a reduced business license fee. So a little bit of analysis, because this one required some analysis. In the last week, the staff has conducted discussions with stakeholders to consider the type of threshold, to consider the amount of the threshold, and to consider the appropriate amount of an annual tax, and to propose those to you. So on the type of threshold, the staff strongly recommends a gross receipts threshold. Nearly all cities that use a receipts-type threshold to calculate business tax levels use gross receipts. Other types of receipts, net receipts, profit, other measures, are rarely used and are neither appropriate nor effective for calculating business tax levels. So the staff thus strongly recommends a gross receipts measure for this temporary low-revenue business licensing exception. The second question was, what should be the amount of the threshold and the recommended tax rate? In our October 28 presentation, staff alluded to a $2,500 annual gross receipts threshold, below which a business may qualify for a flat $10 tax. A couple of thoughts as we analyze that. The minimum tax should approximate gross receipts threshold level from $2,500 to $7,500, so capturing a lot more of our low-income businesses. So tripling the threshold, which is good, but also tripling the minimum tax to $32. So it really is about the same as we recommended last week. We recommended $2,500 threshold and a $10 tax in order to ensure that the tax covers the processing fee. And to bring more people under this sort of protective umbrella, we recommend raising the threshold to $7,500 and the tax to $32. So this attempts here to explain sort of in real terms what this ordinance will do. The ordinance change that's associated with this item establishes a low revenue business gross receipts threshold of $7,500 a year. That allows businesses who demonstrate gross receipts of under $7,500 a year to qualify for a reduced business license fee to be noted on the city's master fee schedule. And please note that the ordinance does not, by ordinance, set the amount of the fee. That will go on the master fee schedule. This requires businesses wanting to be exempt from a business license tax or from a large portion of it, they must provide proof of gross receipts that are under the threshold. So it's really an additional requirement on that business. Instead of simply saying, I'm a one-person business, they'll actually, as they do in other cities, have to demonstrate that their business grosses under $7,500 a year. And it requires those businesses to pay the back processing fees at the reduced rate as applicable in order to qualify for exemption from the business tax. So in other words, a low threshold business that's been a low threshold business will be charged the $32 rate for all four back years, penalties forgiven, and then for the current year. And then finally, the staff will place the updated master fee schedule on the consent agenda for the 9 December city council meeting. So we'll have a month to work on that master fee schedule to determine what rate you really want on there, $32, $30, what the right rate is. So you don't have to decide that tonight. You can give us information. You can direct us tonight, but you get to decide that on the 9th of December. So our recommendation is that you approve the ordinance as is in your staff report, and that's it.
Okay, thanks for that report. We'll start off with questions. I'll start over on this side. Noah, you have any questions for this?
Yeah, I just want to confirm one item, which is as we go through the process that we talked about in item number one, which is really doing the work that we need to do to update our code and make it more reasonable and easy to work with. I just wanted to double check. It's the first time you ever called on me first. Right now, we're not setting a sunset for this particular temporary ordinance, right? That will go until we have the new code. So this will indeed carry through.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This is the one I was talking about. If you look at the wording, it says it's suspended.
Yeah.
Which means you can unsuspend. We can do anything we want with it when we look back at the new code. Except increase the tax.
Okay, Noah?
Yeah, that works for me.
George? Christine?
I just wanted to clarify, yes, thank you. So you said, Mr. Buckingham, that Morro Bay in the past had not had anything in the code dealing with low threshold income businesses. That's correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so we weren't meeting that need at all in the past, I suppose. In Morro Bay.
That's correct.
Okay,
so in fact, right now, until this passes, a business that grosses $20 a year is required to have a $136 business license.
Okay, so this is an improvement. Based on feedback I've received, this is probably a really large improvement on the way we've been operating our fee schedule.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. That's actually really exciting. So I think that's a lot of the anxiety is based on our current code and current cost. Okay, that's what I just wanted us to confirm. And then one other kind of an obvious question, but what if a business doesn't necessarily want to bring in all of their business records to show that they made, you know, $6,500 a year? Are they able just to say, you know what, I'm just going to pay the whatever the current fee right now? Are they able just to come in and say they want to pay the flat fee?
Sure. The flat fee is the normal rate, and then to get an exception for most things, you have to do something to get the exception. So if you wanted the home.
Thank you. My name is Bill LaFay. One thing that you haven't addressed, and I was just curious about, since you are going through this whole process, nonprofits. Do they require a business license, even if they are a brick and mortar? I just was curious on that.
I think we can get some clarity in that following public comment. Anybody else for public comment?
Hi, my name is Cindy Edwards. I'm here as a business owner and also representing the Morro Bay business, Morro Bay Merchants Association. How's that? I think in particular, I want to have the council really focus, especially on this item that just came up, the threshold, especially for booth renters at salons, my industry in particular. Now, I'm a brick and mortar owner, so I don't have this, but a lot of estheticians like myself are actual room renters in salons, so it would work differently for them, it sounds like. But I think the biggest concern on behalf of the people in my industry was when you start out, you don't make a whole heck of a lot of money. So the booth renter in the salon who's making, you know, has been in the business for years, has a strong clientele, is making, you know, $50,000 a year, let's just say that, makes sense that they would have to pay the $136, as opposed to the person who just came in, maybe he's doing a few shampoos, is assisting another stylist, they have go into a commission situation, they might get two hairs, you know, hairdos a week. So I think it's really important for us to definitely consider the threshold, especially when it comes to my industry, which doesn't get represented too much, especially here in town. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for a public comment? May do so now.
Hi, my name is Romy West, and I guess the question I have, I'm here representing more of the musicians in the community, and what I'm hearing is that you're looking for this business license fee. My concern is that as a musician, not do I only work in one band, but I might work in two or three different situations, or I might work as a duo with my husband one time, and I might work in a larger band. We just played the Harbor Festival not too long ago. I don't live in Morro Bay. I don't operate a business in Morro Bay, but of course I'm concerned because I have a history of playing in this community for, you know, over 20 years now. How is this going to affect us? Are we going to be looked at as a group? Are we going to be looked at as individuals? That's what my question is. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment?
You guys know me, right? Okay. And one last concern I have is the $7,500. In terms of fairness, that should be money that's made in Morro Bay. For those of us who work in the counties and in the surrounding area, I can figure out ways that we could prove that we made the money in Morro Bay, but why should we be punished for working in other areas that maybe we make a whole bunch more money in, and then maybe we make $500 in Morro Bay a year, $1,000, $2,000. It seems like there should be some proportionality and, again, a tiered amount on how much we work in Morro Bay. You know, and I'm not just talking about musicians, again, mimes, yoga teachers, whatever.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anybody else for a public comment? Here we go.
Hello, Mary Van Zee. So you were saying that there's nothing in our code for the last however many years for subpar or subdivision type people like hairdressers. And well, I need to pull it away from me, really. Like this? Is that good? Okay.
Thank you.
Does anybody still want to know who I am?
Yes.
Mary Van Zee. I'm owner of Treasures Antique Mall. Anyway, you were talking about in the past we have not had any code ordinances that required people under a business such as mine to pay any kind of business license fee. So I'm kind of curious why we would have to make them go back all these years and pay that. Truly unfair, truly unknown till this point. Also, I'm going to have to be in huge disagreement with your $7,500 threshold. because it still does not include cost incurred by those business people. So you're asking them to pay money on their gross instead of really what they're taking home. So still, again, I don't know where you're getting these numbers, but they don't work. So obviously, maybe you've never had business like mine or a hairdressing place or something like that, but you're still going to hurt our businesses. So I really urge you to consider these numbers. And again, like last week, I asked for net instead of gross because it would be more comparable to what people are actually putting in their pocket, of which they have to pay these business license fees for. So I'm sorry, I'm very tired. I've worked all day. I don't have much of a smile on my face. I'd rather be home right now, but I'm here to stand up for my business so I don't have to close my doors to one of the most amazing stores in Morro Bay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment?
Yes, my name is Gene Doughty. I have a business here in Morro Bay. I don't mind paying my business license. My concern is about for the older people and the low-income people who are, you know, they don't have a whole lot of money, and they're just doing whatever they can to get by. And if they're making Christmas gifts or something rather than trying to sell it for a little bit of money, and then you guys are bean counting and just trying to take all those nickels from these old people. I just feel it's really bad. If there's a threshold and it's $2,500, don't even make them pay the business license. I just think you guys are robbing the poor. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Anybody else for public comment?
Good evening, Ron Reisner, Morro Bay. I received a statement recently from Mass, and for a business that actually hasn't even started yet, but that's okay. Setting that aside, it included a line item for home occupancy in addition to the business license fee, and I'm interested in what the rationale for that is, because I was told by Mass that that does not apply to a brick-and-mortar operation. Thank you.
Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close. Maybe we got one more. Here we go.
I'm Jamie from Otter Rock Cafe, and I have a question for the musicians that pass through and only play once a year, or just play once and then never again. So, and this is like a pit stop for musicians going to San Francisco and LA, and it's kind of their gas money to get back to, you know, another place that they're playing at. So I do like to support the musicians, and maybe is there a way my business can pay for the musicians and help with the business license that play at my place? Because I have, like, regular bands, and then I just have – so I'm just – that's my question.
Thanks, Jamie. Okay, one more time. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to council. And there's a list of questions there. I think the leading one was nonprofit, and I think that can be cleared up pretty quickly.
Sure, I'll address a few of these, and I think if you'd like me to. So on home occupancy, sir, there is two kinds of licenses, either for a brick-and-mortar business or a full business that's conducted from your home. Those are mutually exclusive. So you either need one or the other, but not both. So if you were incorrectly invoiced by Mass for requiring a business license plus something else for home occupancy, that was incorrect. And there was actually a mistake made early on. It was corrected very quickly, so that might have been part of that. There is a different reduced home occupancy permit if you are essentially a hobbyist working from home. You have another source of income, which is your primary source of income. Then you can request a home occupancy sort of hobbyist exemption. The So a number of folks that think might not have been here for the opening opening comments on musicians. We have no intent or interest to charge or to require transient musicians or even regular musicians that are working in our cafes and our restaurants to have a business license. Mass does not have a list of those musicians, and there's no, so Mass is not coming after them. The city doesn't intend to do that. Now that we've heard about it, maybe we'll look at it after as we do this review. I'm just joking. but that's actually a great example of exactly the kind of thing that we do want to do in this review, is to spell it out so it's clear. Nonprofits do not require a business license, but they get it for a completely waived fee. But they do have to pay the $1 to the state of California for the ADA compliancy part of the license. But so, and that goes to the whole reason why we have business licensing, and that's so our police and our firemen know who's in town so they can respond appropriately. For booth rentals, Cindy, it's a great example of that of this question of gross proceeds versus versus flat rate, and why we have the other reason we have a business license, and that is so two folks working in a salon, one who is doing very well and the other who's brand new, they still make the same demands on the city services. So there's one argument to be said that both of them should have the same level of license, because they still have the same fire risk, the same need, the same police protection. But then there's another side, and we're going to wrestle through that in the months ahead, of whether we should have a flat rate system or a gross proceeds system. And then I guess there's a number of other questions which were good. The last one I probably want to note, Mary Van Zee, that Councilmember Johnson, that exchange, we did not say that. That those businesses did not require a business license. In fact, all businesses, as we said, require a business license. But what was not in place was a low threshold exemption or a reduced license for those smaller businesses that don't have significant gross revenues. So, in fact, what we're doing here is putting something into the code to provide some relief for those folks, because under the current code, they absolutely have to have a business license.
Any other questions here? Thanks for clarifying that. I will respond. I think there was one comment about older and lower income. Gene, I know you commented to that. I think there's an opportunity here in the six-month review to address that as well. And I think it goes back to initially there was no. If we look at the code that we have now, there's no determination whether, you know, there's no determining, you know, age or lower income or at all. The lower threshold is an example of what we will be discussing and approving, if that is so desired by council, that will kind of aid in that. So I think it kind of addresses the lower income. But senior, that type of thing, I think that's one of the things that can be addressed during this review process. And for some of those who came later, there's a piece of paper on the back with a pen. During this review process, if you go ahead and put your name and contact information, it would be great that you participate in that, because all your comments, though noted at this meeting, as we go through this review process of addressing this ordinance in between now and June 2015, your comments would be welcome. And so we'd ask that you provide some information, or at least stay tuned on the process as it moves forward, so we can capture that information and address any changes that we want to make to the code. And with that, we have any more comments from council? I'll start with you, George.
Well, I just have a comment. And it looks like to me that this, as we talk about it here, this gross thing and this against the flat tax, this is going to cause a lot of bookwork on a lot of people's part, and also the city's. So I don't. I really think you're going to have a very difficult time with this gross thing. I wish I wish we could have blown this whole thing up and start all over again, but the horse is out of the barn, so here we go. But I think we really got to take a look at this, how you're going to handle this gross thing. I think it can become a real big problem.
Christine?
Thanks. So I'm just taking notes and getting lost. So we are at the part of our process right now, we're in discussion.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. So what I just wanted to make two comments again, and thanks to Mr. Buckingham for clarifying my comments to Ms. Van Zee, and then also to speak to Mr. Dowdy's comment and public comment. Just the way we got to this process, and many of you have kind of filtered in for the meeting that now we are delaying, and our apologies to people who tuned in to hear about the harbor and are stuck hearing about this. But to your points, both of you, and we discussed this at the beginning of the meeting, but many of you have come in, so it's worth repeating. This process we got into because we began an audit, a business audit, that hadn't been done in the city since 2009. So the city wasn't doing anything about business license compliance at all since 2009. So we're definitely catching up. The way we decided to do it in July was to just go, and we didn't do a lot of promotion of the event and maybe education. We definitely didn't do the education we needed to, and we've addressed that in our October 28 meeting. But I think to speak to your two specific concerns, which are absolutely valid, current code in the city of Morro Bay doesn't support those businesses that you're concerned about. There's nothing that's written today as it exists that we can't exempt folks who are making ends meet by doing something quite minimal. We can't exempt people, or we don't have a threshold that's appropriate for consignment shops. And if you look around, we have a lot of consignment shops, we have a lot of seniors, we have a lot of folks that are trying to make it, and our code currently doesn't address any of it. So again, we talk about silver linings, and while this has been a challenging process, and certainly not one that we've enjoyed on either end, it certainly is a silver lining that we're able to spend the next few months until the end of June making reasonable decisions and creating a reasonable code that fits who we are as a community. So we are able to take a fresh look. And actually, George is right. You know, the horse is galloping out of the barn, but I'm glad because I think at the end of the day, less than a year, I hope we'll have a code that meets who we are as a community and then also addresses flaws, which is flaws in communication. People say they didn't know they needed a license for something. You know, I can't dispute that they were told. So a lot of these things need to be addressed, and I specifically wanted to talk to those two items that we aren't able to address those needs now. So I'm glad you brought them up, and I think we all will continue to move forward. But as far as this goes for this particular topic, I absolutely support a threshold. I think if we look at neighboring cities, it gives us a guide. I mean, that's kind of what you see is working out there in the municipal world. So in this case, going with a low threshold, my question that I wanted to discuss with the council is 7,500 the right number? Is it the right number for now? And then I know we're going to take another look at this again when it comes back several times to the council, but for our decision purposes now, I'm moving forward to try and get compliance. Are we comfortable with the 7,500? Because part of me says, yes, I could go with that, and part of me says, what if we went a little higher? So I want to just kind of have that. That's the discussion I'd like to have here. Thanks.
No discussion?
Yeah, thank you. And that's a question that I've been wrestling with. And actually, in this motion that we made on the 28th, we did say exemption. We didn't say low threshold tier or level. So I think the intent was to find an exempted status point that would work for those people that are making, you know, $100 a month or something along those lines or less. And as I did my research, I found it very challenging to come up with cities that have actually implemented the exemption, aside from the example that I pointed out earlier, which was City of San Jose using the Department of Health and Human Services, their poverty guidelines. And I know we asked for that to be included in this review and to come up with some ideas about how that could be included in ours to address that very concern. So I think that's going to take a little more time. That's obviously much more complex than what we can do and accomplish tonight. And our goal tonight is really to provide that security and coverage and relief as soon as possible, and that's why we're here in a special meeting. So I think we do need to move forward, and I think the question of is 7,500 high enough is an interesting one. I looked around at what other cities are doing, and you know, there's a range there going all the way up to 25,000 actually, but that does include a processing fee so that they're covering their baseline costs. So, you know, there's a bit of a give and a take there. My thought would be maybe bump that up a little bit more. I think we've already, what staff's brought forward is an improvement from, you know, the initial recommendation of 2,500. So, you know, maybe to just get it to a round number, just let's move up to 10 and we keep it at 32 baseline with no, like, initial processing fee like what you see here in Pismo, which is an additional charge on top of that. And we know that we're going to roll up our sleeves and do the hard work of really peeling the onion and looking at the best place to settle on this over the next half of a year, and we stick with that. That's generally, I think we're providing a good amount of relief there and a cover, and then knowing too that if someone really truly feels like that $32 is a hardship, that we have an appeal process that goes right to our city staff and that ultimately could come to us as the council. So we could make a decision there, and if someone truly is in that position where they're deciding whether to write that check to the city or to buy some groceries for the month, well, I would really want them, and I would encourage them and fight with them to get through the appeal process and not have to write that check to the city and you know, feed themselves and their family or whoever it is. So my thought is, I think it's not perfect, but we're making a really strong improvement tonight, and if the 10,000 is something that the council would go for, maybe we make that adjustment and go with it as recommended with that adjustment.
Okay, thanks. And I guess I'll just turn to Mr. Buckingham on the 7,500 threshold and input. I mean, it sounds like all of us did some research on this as far as thresholds and different ordinances as well, and quite frankly, I think there are a lot of cities that currently have business license ordinances that are basically cut and paste in what we have. You can look at other cities, and it's identical to the business licenses that we have. So, you know, whether or not that's the right thing to do, but it still goes back to addressing the business licensing ordinance that we have in place, and that's what we're doing tonight.
Mayor, so can I jump in really? It's kind of important.
Just a minute. Just hang on to that and not.
I've got a number that I think would be really.
Thank you, and I'll
here.
Get to okay. Mr. Buckingham. So, Mr. Buckingham, can you just pipe in on the $7,500 and how we came to that number, please?
In talking to council members of the community, there was clearly an interest to find a low threshold, and actually, I think it frankly came from a conversation I had with one of somebody who commented tonight, I just did some quick math. They said the lowest. You know, the hardest hit in their shop was only making $140 a month gross, and so we did some math and multiplied 140 times 12 and came up with whatever that is, and then rounded up to 2,500. So that's about where he went. We were just sort of looking for what's the threshold of the person who is sort of just doing this as a hobby. And need some relief. That's really what we were looking to provide relief for, and then had a great discussion with some members of the chamber that said, you know, it makes sense, and as we as a staff looked at it, we said instead of 2,510, as I explained, let's ensure that we are recouping the cost to the city for the fee itself, or for, you know, the processing and all that. That's more like $30-$32, and we said, you know, our additional employee rate is $32, and that's really close to what it costs the city to process it. Let's triple the 2,500 to 7,500, and 10 times 3 is right at about 32. I know it's not exactly 32, and so that's how we came to that.
Okay, and there was
the city, the staff would be generally unconcerned if it were 10,000 or 5,000 or 7,500.
Okay, great, thanks. Noah, you have some comments?
Yeah, thanks. I'll just suggest here, the Department of Health and Human Services current poverty guideline level for this year is 11,670. So I'll just suggest that we work off of that number as a pretty established number, and we just round it up to 12, and we go with 12,000. And I think that's a nice element, too, because it starts to build in that as perhaps a piece that we will work with as we go through the rest of the update.
Okay. Any other comments on that?
Speaking on that, I thought there was going to be, over the next few months, there was going to be a possibly adjustment of this 75. Wasn't that what I understand?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Then even if we vote this in as 75, that doesn't mean it's going to stay 75.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so correct.
I don't think, Noah, that we really have to do that, because you're going to have an opportunity later on to change this anyway.
But if I could, my concern would be we're putting people, this is a temporary requirement that is going to be in place until we get the new code updated. And in that time, we're going to be asking people to comply with the rule that we set tonight. So my thought would be let's be careful about that, because it does start to set a precedence, and recognize that. But also let's make sure that we're not putting people in a tough situation during this interim period before we can really get down and deeper into the whole discussion. So sounds like staff doesn't see a major problem with making a change. I would suggest that we round it up to 12,000 based on the poverty level from Department of Health and Human Services from the U.S. government, and we go forward with that as proposed.
Can we actually do that? Can we change horses in the middle of the stream like this?
We're not in the stream yet, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
that's what we're discussing tonight,
All right, just checking.
Christine, any comments?
Yes, I think it's a great discussion to have, and I think I agree with George that it's a little bit like a dartboard with the 7,500, the 12,000. I think that what makes me concerned about leaving it low is that a lot of our concern in the community has come from people who make not very much money. And so if you're looking at the folks that are going to be coming in eventually to file an appeal process and talk about backing that up on, if you just look at it in terms of how many folks I personally know are challenged with this portion of our code, you know, I'm sure we've all spoken to people, and I'm thinking that's a fairly large chunk of what the concerns we're hearing. So I'm looking for a way to reduce anxiety on their end, and then also be mindful of staff time dealing with folks who, you know, are maybe making 91 or a lot of people making 8. So what I don't want to do, though, is follow through with this dartboard approach and just throw a dart at a number. So I think, Noah, it makes perfect sense to pull a number that is a threshold for other really important things that people make decisions about. And, you know, the poverty number from DHHS is perfect number. It's not a guess. It's something that's legitimate, and I think it addresses a lot of concerns that we've heard from the community. So what I would suggest is moving forward exactly as this is recommended tonight, and just cross out 7,500 and put in 12, and then know why we did it, and then continue to review and see how that works between now and the end of June.
Okay. I have additional comments for that, because in having the discussion on, you know, where do we get to 7,500 and let's just raise it to 10, as Christine said, hey, we have this poverty health and services data point that really points us to that. So I would agree with that, but I think to take it one step further, and I just need some help with this, is instead of just saying this number here would be attached to the ordinance, is that correct?
That's
not
correct.
The fee structure.
Correct.
Because my question is that if we're looking at this number as poverty health and services, why can't we just make it poverty health and services number? And if that fluctuates, then that sets the fee, and that way it's maintained for that. And that's at least a good starting point for the sake of where we're at. And of course, we're going to come back and review it in 6 months. But that might be the target. Okay.
I think first, I love the idea of using the poverty rate as a benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that going forward, we should tie this to a rate and not to a number. But probably what we would do is, it will be easier to communicate in the community a number instead of, say, go on a website and look up the rate. So I would recommend that we communicate, that we you choose a number like 12,000, and then in our communication we'll be able to say, and that's tied to the poverty rate, but that's easier than saying, as I'm thinking about how we communicate this to the community, that's easier than saying 11,699.42. And trying to communicate that.
So, yeah, and so I think just to carry the point home as far as, you know, I get it. I think, you know, having the numbers clear, that's great, but I think attaching, you know, this number was derived from the Poverty Health and Services number, you know, based on this date, and that gives us a target. It doesn't get passed on, and people are going, how did we get there? So I'd like to tie that into it. Is there any other discussion on that?
I would agree with that. That's fine. So it would just be something noted in the ordinance, and staff would.
And in the meantime, if we get to dial it in between now and June,
do we have to change the wording tonight in the ordinance?
You didn't want to have the reference to the poverty level number, the language in the ordinance. You want to just have the motion reflect that, or you want to actually put a footnote in the?
No, actually, just a footnote to say, hey, the number is derived from the Health and Poverty Services number, and that's how it's derived. So, you know, it could trigger thought on, hey, if that's going up and we need to address it, then, you know, it gives us that benchmark to work from. And in addition, I think we will have this coming back in 6 months to review, so we'll be able to dial it in even further.
Alternatively, use 12,000 now, and when we come back to you in 6 months, we'll have this thought through, we'll have it in the right place, whether it's in the ordinance or wherever else. We won't lose the note.
Good.
Yeah, why don't we just cut to the chase and make this thing 12,000? Okay?
Okay.
George, is that a motion?
Do you want to make the motion, Christine?
Well, should we let George, would you like to make that motion?
Okay, well, do we have to go through the changes, or I recommend that we raise this from 7,500 to 12,000. Is that sufficient?
Do we have to read the ordinance?
The title.
Okay. Does it?
Could you?
Okay. So the title is Staff Recommendations of the City Council Accepts Public Comment. They move from introduction to first reading of the ordinance number 590. By number and title only, amending the Morro Bay Municipal Code, Title 5, adding Section 5.08.220, entitled Requirements for Low-Revenue Businesses, to allow a reduction fee for businesses who gross annual receipts are less than 12,000. Right?
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion by George, a second by Christine. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved 4-0. And that brings us to conclusion to this special meeting, and there are no closing comments. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Thank you.
I'm back, you know. Don't worry. I got your back.